Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I think a fun sports radio exercise is, who is the best player you would trade straight up for Kyrie Irving? Like, would the Raptors give up OG Anunoby for Kyrie Irving? I don't know that they would. Like, I don't know what his value is at. Now, as far as the Rockets go, the Rockets could have had Ben Simmons and Matisse Thybul and a pick or two. Instead, they chose to go this route. The charitable viewing of that is they are shorting the Nets' future. They don't think this is going to work, and they think those picks from the Nets are going to be incredibly valuable as soon as 2024, maybe even as soon as 2023. The non-charitable reading of it is that the owner of the Rockets, Tillman Fertitta, actually literally needs some charity because he's so broke. So he wanted expiring contract and the cheapest deal possible, because during this pandemic, if your three industries are you own casinos, you own luxury restaurants and hotels, and you own an NBA team, that's the trifecta of brokenness as far as your own liquidity. So I think it's probably more that than the other, but I don't think the Rockets did great in this. I would have taken Ben Simmons and been very happy about that.
Putting aside how the Rockets did, that it's still a ton of stuff to give up. So when you say Kevin Durant got more help, are you sure? I mean, he got the best player in the trade, but are the Nets better or are they much better?
Here's the argument for it. The argument for it is I believe the Nets were drawing dead to win the championship, because as we know, and as Damon and Matt and Ray to an extent, but I don't think Ray was on it quite as often right when we first started having these arguments. But as we know, if you want to beat LeBron James, the minimum barrier to entry is three Hall of Famers. Now, that doesn't guarantee that you'll beat him, but you're drawing dead without that. And they only had two Hall of Famers, and one of them was AWOL. So I get why they did it. But I don't think this team's good enough, and I don't think it makes a lot of sense, and I don't think they're even going to make it out of the East, because they're going to be an aggressively bad defensive team. Now, if they could flip Kyrie Irving for some rim protection and some depth, and you are essentially trying to do a big two, but not the big two of KD and Kyrie, a big two of KD and Harden, where it's like Harden, you do your thing for the first 3.5 quarters and let KD be the closer. I think that could make sense, but I think their defense is going to be a huge, huge problem. And I know it's, you know, your guys' show, but I got a question for you all. It strikes me as odd. If Kevin Durant wanted a big three, he did have a pretty damn good one in the Bay. And it's like, I thought he went to Brooklyn because he wanted to prove he could do it on his own. Now, you never can do it totally on your own in the NBA. You need a sidekick. But for 15 games in to be like, no, actually, I need another MVP. I have to do it with another MVP. To me, it kind of defeats the purpose of leaving Golden State. So it strikes me as a little odd.
It's really weird. There is no doubt about it. But you look at Durant, and he is someone who is always valued efficient basketball, and I think he's looking to be actually loved by a fan base. And the love that he was looking for, I think, would have finally been available to him in Golden State because he had given this franchise his Achilles. And that injury would have allowed some ownership to feel like his when he returned to the mix. I think the love that he has always been looking for is the love he walked away from to walk into the media viper pit that is going to be the Nets with Harden and Kyrie. Nick Wright, our guest here on 95.7 The Game. Nick, what do you make of Kyrie? You just said, straight up for OG Anunoby. I don't even know anymore. That is an indictment.
It's a massive indictment. And, all right, can I make a... All right, so this is a complex question. I think Kyrie has... You know, I think he has legitimate depth to him. I do believe that. I also think that he has, in some cases, you know, a bad case of toxic internet brain, which is you can take almost anybody, and if they spend enough time on the wrong corners of the internet, they, you know, if you're in one corner of the internet, you think the earth is flat. You're in a different corner of the internet, you go from, you know, being an Air Force pilot to storming the Capitol. Like, the internet can give you some really dark, take you some dark places. And so I think that has happened to Kyrie over the past few years. I also think Kyrie Irving is struggling with very real things that I empathize with. With that said, if you are a professional, you cannot no show, no call. I said this on television this week, and people thought I was being flippant. I wasn't. I've been fired from one job ever. It was Foot Action. And it was because I no-showed, no-called. I made $8 an hour plus commission. I was 17 years old. And even they were like, you can't no-show, no-call. For him to do this to Steve Nash, if you have legitimate grievances, if you're having a legitimate crisis of identity, or you're questioning, you know what, am I wasting my life? I've had an existential crisis. Damon, I don't know about you guys, but like, what we do is kind of make-believe. It's not actually important. I've had those nights where I stare into the ceiling and I'm like, am I wasting my life? Like, this is silly. So I get that. But you have a right to feel that way, and if you want to walk away. But I don't think you have a right in a team sport to just go AWOL and to not contact the coach and to leave your teammates in a lurch. I mean, KD is out here now playing back-to-backs, playing heavy minutes off the Achilles. I don't think that was the plan, but I think part of that's because Kyrie wasn't around. I don't know if they would have traded their entire draft for the next decade if they knew they could rely on Kyrie. And so I just think at this point, he's not reliable. And as far as a pure basketball standpoint, with Harden, the skills become somewhat redundant. Everyone's like, who's going to be the Kevin Love? Who's going to be the Chris Bosh? The fact of the matter is, nobody is built for that. Like, Kyrie's the third best player, but you're not getting anything out of him if you're not letting him have the ball. So I think the Kyrie situation is very complex and also very simple. It's simple in that you got to call your coworkers and tell them if you're not coming in, no matter the reasons for not coming in.
A couple of questions. First of all, how much damage did you do to Foot Action after they fired you?
Oh, yeah. True. I mean, I don't know that they've recovered, to be honest with you. I thought we were building a little empire together.
Yeah. And secondly, do you get a sense that the NBA's changing their protocols this week in the wake of the Wizards now having 6 positive COVID cases and more games being postponed? Is there a next step that they're discussing if this doesn't work?
So I wish I could give you like actual insight on it that, but I have no idea. I have no intel on that. I do think that folks that I know a popular a popular opinion in NBA Twitter circles is they ran a totally successful bubble and then they decided not to do it again. They did not have an option to do that again. The players were absolutely not going to sign up for 8 months of the bubble, and I don't blame them for that. I don't blame them for nobody, unless you're in the military. I don't think anybody signs up for 8 months away from their family as part of your work responsibility, or at least most people don't. And you'd be like, oh, the family can go with you. Not if the kids have school, not if they have lives, not if your wife has her own career. Like, so I think the NBA was in a rough spot. Listen, the pandemic is only getting worse, and they're trying to play sports. And so I think you got to kind of make up the rules as you go, because you don't want to cancel a season. I understand them not wanting to postpone a season. Everyone's trying to make money, and we're in a once-in-a-century public health crisis. And so I don't know what they do, but I'm snarky about a lot of things. I'm not snarky about this one because I think they're all bad options.
I want to jump to another guy trying to get out of Houston. And with Deshaun Watson now tweeting through his displeasure, if he is available, how much is too much to offer for a 25-year-old star quarterback?
If I were your guys' team, the Niners, I assume that's most of your guys' listeners' team. I know they play in, what are they playing, Santa Clara? That's not even San Francisco. I don't really know the geography of the Bay, but I consider it your guys' team. I would offer the Texans my first-round pick every year he's on the roster. I'd create a new trade. Here's the trade. We trade for Deshaun. Until we cut him or trade him ourselves, you get our first-round pick the next year. Deshaun Watson and Kyle Shanahan's system, you guys would be the preeminent favorites in the conference. That trade doesn't really exist. I understand that. To me, he's worth at least 3 first-round picks. At least. Like, I mean, folks, Laremy Tunsil went for 2. Jalen Ramsey went for 2. Khalil Mack went for 2. People trade first-round picks. This guy is, at worst, the fifth-best quarterback in football. And so I don't know if the Texans will trade him. It would be the final insult of the Bill O'Brien reign of terror if they end up having to trade Deshaun Watson back or too much money just to get their own draft pick back. That would be really horrifying for them. But, yeah, I mean, if the Niners, to me, I'm not just saying this because I'm on with you guys, they're the team that should be going after him. You can move off Jimmy G. You probably can get a second-round pick yourselves for Jimmy G. And if you offer 3 firsts and 2 seconds, I think they at least got to consider it.
Nick Wright here on 95.7 The Game. So before we move into let's break down the Warriors a little bit of the interview, which I know you're dying to. I can hear you sharpening your knives right now.
I am excited. No knives. I like him this year, actually, but go ahead.
Oh, there you go. There you go. They had to stop winning titles for Nick to finally buy into what they were doing.
Exactly right. That's right. We believe.
Let me ask you real quick, what is your upset special from a divisional weekend in football that always gives us one? Who's not advancing?
I don't think it's an upset. I think the Ravens are better than Buffalo. I think the Ravens have the better coach, and I think McDermott's a good coach, but I think Harbaugh's better. I think the Ravens right now have the better quarterback. I know the entire world is in love with Josh Allen except for me. I'm the only person, evidently, that saw him throw a pick at the end of the first half that was dropped and then try to fumble the game away, just like he fumbled away the playoff game last year. So I like the Ravens quarterback more than Josh Allen, and I certainly like the Ravens defense more than the Bills defense. And here's the other thing. The Ravens defense is built to stop the pass with Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, and that's what the Bills want to do. The Bills' biggest weakness on their entire organization is stopping the run, and that's all the Ravens want to do. I think the Saints are going to win. Obviously, the Chiefs are going to roll the Browns. The concern for the Packers, I think the Packers win, but the concern for the Packers is that the Rams do to them what the Niners did, which is say, we'll basically play the game without a quarterback. We'll have our quarterback throw 8 passes, and we're just going to beat you up front. But I think the Packers win. I think we're staring down the barrel of the Mahomes-Rodgers Super Bowl, and I felt that way most of the year.
Of the 4 games, if you were only allowed to win to watch 3, which is the one you would skip, and how eagerly would you do so?
Oh, what a fun question. The one I would skip is Packers-Rams, because it's to me – it's either going to be the Packers win comfortably or the Rams win a close one. And if the Rams win a close one, it's an ugly game. It's like, you know, 17-14 type of game. And the other games, if the Bills win, I made a stupid television bet with Colin Cowherd. If the Bills make the conference championship game, I have to get Pinto Rond, which is the thing the Bills Mafia does where they spray you with ketchup and mustard and then you wipe a hot dog on your face and you eat it. So I have to watch that game. I must watch Saints Bucks because I need to watch the final playoff game of Tom Brady's career, and I've been eagerly awaiting that one. And I'm from Kansas City, and Patrick Mahomes, I trivia question for you, Damon. Playoff Patrick Mahomes, that's the second best recurring event in the sports world. It's the second best thing on sports television. Do you know what the best thing is?
Would it be Steph Curry going off and hitting threes?
Oh no, come on. Come on. Who are you talking to?
I mean, Steph Curry hitting 62 is a big deal.
Playoff LeBron James. So I will never miss a Patrick Mahomes playoff game, but go ahead.
No, so what is it? What is this fictitious correct answer of yours?
Playoff LeBron.
I just told you.
James.
Playoff LeBron.
Oh, it's playoff LeBron.
Jeez, man.
That was pretty good. I think we should have guessed that.
I should have been all over
immediately.
That.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you criticize LeBron for needing help to win titles, or does that only extend to Steph Curry?
Hold on a second. I have never said that about Steph. I said it about Durant. Steph won that title in 2015 fair and square. Now, it took Kyrie Irving's knee going out and Kevin Love's shoulder being ripped out, but he won it fair and square. I like Steph Curry. I've never disliked Steph Curry. I really, really disliked some Warrior fans. I'm not a huge fan of light year season. I had come to dislike some Warriors media, most notably Damon Bruce, and I thought KD was an incredibly unlikable as he got to Golden State. I've never had anything against Steph. I wasn't a huge fan of when his wife said, "Stop the steal, the fix is in." I wasn't a big fan of that tweet. I thought that was unbecoming. But Steph Curry himself, I got no problem with him. And he is doing something important this year. Steph Curry is getting an opportunity to carry a bad team. And that is a rite of passage amongst NBA stars, and he's getting an opportunity. And Weissman's good. You guys might trade Harden, but you chose not to. And so I like your team.
All right, so other than enjoying Steph Curry carrying a bad basketball team, what do you like about this team?
No, that's it. I mean, the team itself stinks, which is why it's fun. Like, Draymond's still shooting with his backpack on. Oubre hadn't been good since he was busting my son's head in high school basketball in Houston, Texas. I know that all you guys in the Bay Area got mad at me when I said Wiggins stunk, but now everyone understands, oh, no, Wiggins does stink. And Weissman won't actually be a winning player for like 3 years, which is why this is so much fun. It's like Steph Curry being like, nope, guess what, guys? I'll just take care of it. Just try not to hold me back. That is it's a fun experiment, and it's fun to watch. And next year, Clay gets healthy, and maybe you package Weissman in the Minnesota pick, so Steph can have more help that he desperately needs. Sorry, I can't help myself. And then you can be back in the mix. It's fun. This is a fun Warriors team.
Always fun talking to you, Nick. Thank you very much. You are a preferred irritant out here in the Bay Area. There's no doubt about that.
All right, try to talk to me before LeBron gets ring number 5, because once he does, I start charging for interviews. So we only got a little bit of time left.
All right. Later. $5 will be coming. $1 for every ring. There you go. Thank you so much. Nick Wright, Fox Sports here on 95.7 The Game. Good stuff, as always. He loves to piss people off. It's why he's good at what he does. And I'll tell you, there's some people here who would say, I have to admit, Nick Wright, a.k.a. Nick Wrong, annoying as hell, but I miss him sometimes when he's away. That annoying, pitchy voice. It's good to hear in moderation. There you go. That's the text line. And the text line is unforgiving, but it even gives a little forgiveness to Nick Wright. So there you go.
He's got a brand, and it's strong.
It's a strong brand indeed. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, how's the brand doing? Let's find out. Stick with us here on 95.7 The Game. We got a Kolsky's Corner coming up a little bit later on today, and we're looking forward to doing that before it is all said and done. We are guest-free, though, the rest of the way this afternoon, which means We got time for open lines, and I do think we need to talk about what the 49ers look like in the wake of Robert Saleh leaving town. He is going to be taking Mike LaFleur with him. He has been this team's quarterback coach, their passing game coordinator. So Robert Saleh building the Niners East for the New York Jets looks like it is officially now underway. And what does it say about the Detroit Lions that they either walked away from Saleh or Saleh walked away from them, or what happened there? That was the one coach and team that seemed to be predestined to get together. And now that they're not, where does that leave the Detroit Lions? I believe it leaves them on the bottom of the sports barrel pecking order, looking up forever. I mean, that team, no buzz, no juice, no excitement. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a bigger deal than the Detroit Lions now. There's no doubt. So we got an awful lot to get into this afternoon. We invite you to be a part of it. What the Niners do in the post-Robert Saleh, he gone era. That's a question they're going to be asking themselves starting today, Junior, down in Santa Clara. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware. Osh's newest location in Millbrae is hiring part-time and full-time career positions. Osh offers great benefits, flexible schedules, generous employee discounts. Visit osh.com/careers today. That's osh.com/careers. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Thanks again to Nick Wright for coming on by to talk some NBA and a whole bunch of other things with us. And we have just been handed a brand new NBA story to share with you. Not even 2 minutes ago, Shams tweets that Minnesota Timberwolves star Karl Anthony Towns says that he has indeed tested positive for coronavirus. Now, Karl Anthony Towns has been dealing with coronavirus in his life in incredibly serious ways. He lost his mother, and I believe is the first, like, American athlete, certainly NBA athlete, to have coronavirus touch a family tragedy so close. He lost his mother. His dad had it. Other family members have had it. In a very sobering interview, Karl Anthony Towns says that he'll never be the same after dealing with the grief that he's dealt with this year. Well, now the center of the Minnesota Timberwolves is also dealing with COVID-19 himself. He has admitted that he is tested positive. We bring this up because the guy's had a heavy heart over COVID-19. He has to be concerned about it. We wish him the very, very best. And you can't help but just notice, bringing it back to the Warriors, that their schedule sees Minnesota twice coming up pretty soon. The Warriors' next game is Monday, Martin Luther King, against the Lakers. Then they're home for the Spurs and the Knicks. They go to Utah. And then they come back home for two more games. Both of those games are scheduled against the Minnesota Timberwolves at Chase Center. It's like when the Trailblazers or the Clippers were here earlier. It is a two-set series, two games. So concerning to say the least here, gentlemen. We wish Karl Anthony Towns the very, very best.
Yeah, it's been a horrible COVID year for him. I mean, indescribably. Probably worse for him than any other athlete that I can think of. And the fact that he's got it now, I suspect if the Wizards are any guide here, the Timberwolves might miss 4 or 5 games, because we're talking about direct exposure to teammates, direct exposure to other teams. So this may be looking too far ahead. I wouldn't be surprised if at least one of those Warrior games, if not both of them, have to be rescheduled for later.
Yeah, I mean, we just have no idea. He hasn't been playing, right? So I don't know how much exposure his teammates have to him. Oh, he did play one game. Okay. So, yeah, then I don't know. I guess we'll see. But there's plenty of time between now and those games to figure that out. It is just heartbreaking for Karl Anthony Towns, like it has been for so many people.
He shared a statement on Instagram that reads, "Prior to tonight's game, I received yet another awful call that I tested positive for COVID. I will immediately isolate and follow every protocol. I pray every day that this nightmare of a virus will subside, and I beg everyone to continue to take it seriously by taking all of the necessary precautions. We cannot stop the spread of this virus alone. It must be a group effort by all of us. It breaks my heart that my family, particularly my father and sister, continue to suffer from the anxiety that comes along with this diagnosis, as we know all too well what the end result could be. To my niece and nephew, I promise. Wow. Sorry, I'm just reading this for the first time myself. To my niece and nephew, I promise I will not end up in a box next to grandma, and I will beat this. Wow. So that obviously that is his mother who passed away, that he was talking about to his nieces and nephews, and that's something else. So, man, wish that guy the very, very best. I was just reading another story that said that, you know, San Francisco is considering how it goes about rolling out vaccination sites and whether or not we're going to see Chase Center or Oracle Park or Oracle Arena over in Oakland or the Coliseum play a role in a vaccine distribution. I think it would make an awful lot of sense if those places, which are built to deal safely with a lot of people coming and going at once, that would be fantastic if they could find a little harmony there. Have we got the Charles Barkley sound ready to go? Do we have that yet? No, we don't. Okay, I guess we got some sort of glitch going on in the studio where we can't pop any sound. But athletic venues being first to offer help in terms of distributing a vaccine, I'm all for it. Athletes being first in line because of the taxes that they make, that's another thing entirely. And that's what Charles Barkley was actually saying last night, guys, on TNT, that NBA players, due to the exorbitant taxes that they pay, should be front and center in terms of vaccine distribution. Now, as Charles was saying this, everyone on set with him at TNT started brushing back the notion that that didn't exactly speak to a whole lot of fairness or make any sense. The glitch has been fixed. Here's Charles Barkley's own words last night on TNT.
We need 300 million shots. I've given 1,000 to some NBA players.
What about NFL?
NFL, I'm just getting ready to say NFL players, hockey players. Listen, as much taxes as these players pay, let me repeat that. As much taxes as these players pay, they deserve some preferential treatment.
For life and death?
Yes.
The amount of money you make.
I said taxes. I didn't say the amount of money you make.
Well, that's better. That's taxes.
I'm saying the amount of taxes these guys pay.
We can't go there.
I mean, the statement is simply rich people should have access to better medical care, which is also a reality that everyone lives in to begin with. And, you know, look, the blowback on that came quickly, and rightfully so. I mean, it would have actually sounded better from Chuck if he had just said, look, we depend on these guys for our entertainment. So for an entertainment standpoint, let's just go ahead and vaccinate them. That would have carried a little bit more intellectual honesty than what he was talking about.
Honesty, yeah, but no more weight. It's an absurd thing to say. It's a preposterous thing to say, given what we've gone through for the last 11 months. And the idea that, once again, sports would be prioritized over other things, just because we keep saying how much we need sports, it's not. It's to call it nonsense is to insult nonsense. And I like Charles Barkley a lot, but he's dead wrong about this in every way and under any explanation. It's just not right.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks as a thing to say. It's also more or less the living conditions in the United States right now.
Right.
And you wish Chuck didn't feel that way, but I wish Chuck didn't feel lots of ways. And at the end of the day, I can't blame him for expecting that, given how the country works right now. So, I mean, I think in many ways this pandemic and you know, results like the ones we've had and comments like the one Chuck just made are shining a bright light on how unequitable and frankly wrong, to use Ray's word, our healthcare system is.
That is a level of thinking that only rich men get to, and Charles Barkley's a rich man. You know what I mean? Like, that is a let-them-eat-cake statement.
Yeah, it's fundamentally misunderstanding the point of taxes. Like, the whole point of taxes is to improve our shared society, you know?
Right.
And the nature of income taxes, which is what most people mean in this country when they say taxes, the nature of that is those who make more are taxed more. And that's because they can help more, not because they deserve better in return.
The incredible thing that, you know, he's just saying based on taxes should put you to the front of the line. Well, in the Bay Area, it's one of those rare towns where that means that NBA players are still like the 900th people in line. Like, we got some success out here that dwarfs NBA contracts. So, you know, it might work in another NBA town, but in this town, outside of Steph Curry, you are at the back of the line still. If how much taxes do you pay get you to the front of the vaccination line? Again, sports can really help in terms of facility. But Charles Barkley isn't helping anybody talking like that. And that's one of those, like, so what makes Chuck great is he just shoots from the hip and he's more than willing to say something before he's really thought about this. I would imagine Charles Barkley in some way, shape, or form will be retracting that statement in his next broadcast or couching it in some sort of way, because if you really wanted to do a deep dive into what he said, he basically said the black community gets it last.
Well,
I mean, that's
really
part
says,
of what he says right there. Yeah, that's part of really the yeah. wealthy NBA black community can be among the first, but the rest of the black community based on income tax will probably be, you know, definitely in the bottom third of the line. Like, he's really crapping on his own community by saying that.
Well, anybody who's poor gets crapped on by this. And don't forget, this adds to the insult that's already happened, which is that athletes across the board have been getting an unlimited amount of testing, like right. more than your average person by a wide factor. So all this is takes an absurd and dishonest situation and ramps it up two more notches. We don't need sports. We like sports. But sports is not vital to our existence the way breathing is. And to sit there and say, well, if you show me your W-2, we'll decide whether you get a shot or not, is a nightmarish world that I don't think anybody but the most self-centered person imaginable would defend, because it's not defensible. It's a wrong-headed statement, and it's based, A, on too many examples of favoritism already, and a disregard for anybody who isn't in a high social stratus. I don't know how else to put it. It's a ghastly thought.
Ironically, that's exactly why Chuck thinks he can say it, is because it's not racial or, you know, it's gender biased. It's just the only people it's really slandering are poor people, and no one's going to get mad at him for that, really, besides Ray.
Oh, I think a lot of people are. I mean, 75% of that set last night was infuriated with him.
Yeah, I don't know if you're right. I shouldn't put it that way. What I mean is, I don't know that that's going to get the reaction that a racially biased or gender biased statement would.
Right. Look, it's a lot easier to say things about zeros and commas than it is people, preferences,
right,
picadillos.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the reality is, you're still talking about people when you do this. And
exactly.
then that's what that, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going to get upset about the faceless poor.
Yeah.
And that's
no,
that's the outrage here.
Since we're talking about some NBA cash, let's bring it back to an actual NBA conversation, because Kyrie Irving. And apparently we are going to see the first look at the new version of the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night. They're playing the Orlando Magic, and I believe Harden and Kyrie are on deck.
He is not. He just got ruled out, so they're ramping him up to basketball activities. However, the big three could make their debut Monday, MLK Day, against the Bucks. That would be exciting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you're the NBA, you would almost want to prefer to take this out on the big stage. So, okay, if that's what happens, that's what happens. Kyrie, in the meantime, got two game checks taken from him, which totals about $817,000. So, by the way, it's good to be Kyrie Irving. Harden, you know, he's had plenty of time to tip the bartender, so he is going to be involved soon. But I guess Kyrie will rejoin possibly now on Monday, and we will see them all on Martin Luther King Day. But what do you think of that, fellas? $817,000, two game checks, and dinged another $50K for not wearing the mask at the sister celebration, the birthday, and we saw the video.
It's an insult. $870,000 is, by my reckoning, about 1/25th of his annual contract salary. So you don't even have to look at his paycheck with the Nets. I mean, he pays that out of petty cash. If you want to change behavior, you take away the thing that you think matters most, and that's games. Because even if Irving doesn't care, the Nets do. Because they've made a championship plan based on his full or close to full participation. The fact that he went to a birthday party rather than be with his teammates, and they didn't social distance, thereby maximizing the possibility that he would bring COVID back to his team. To me, that's 15 games minimum, because now you're jeopardizing other people and you're doing it without a thought. It's the same thing with Harden. If you want to make that a thing, then make it a thing that hurts. This doesn't hurt Kyrie Irving, just as the fine that Harden got didn't hurt him. Money is cheap in the NBA. Time is expensive. Take away the time.
Yeah, if I mean, I think we've already established, though, that the NBA is not taking – they're not suspending guys for, you know, away from the court COVID safety violations. Now, maybe that'll change with the new protocols, but – That's sort of the way this has been established. So I wasn't expecting more than the $50K fine for the maskless video. The game checks, I think that's more interesting, because to me that's the Nets basically saying, "Yeah, man, no, it's cool." Because this isn't—it's not a punishment. It's just not paying you for not coming to work. You know, like a punishment would be additional something. This is just saying, no, it's cool if you don't show up. We're just not going to pay you for the days where you didn't show up, if that's okay. Right?
Yeah. Oh, no, weird. That's exactly it. And that's the other thing that we talked about the other days. The Nets don't seem to mind about this. They went out and got James Harden as an insurance policy against it happening anymore. But they haven't done anything to Irving that means anything to him. So
they don't know that
that's
why they got Harden. Like Harden may have been. You said you do?
I do believe that they would not have accepted. I don't know that they would have paid what they paid to get James Harden if they weren't worried that Irving wasn't going to be there for them all the time. I think that was a driving force in making that trade. Yes.
Right. That's your speculation, which is fine. I'm not even necessarily disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is, The Harden thing might be something that they thought would help their chances with or without Kyrie Irving, right? So, in my view, you've done nothing. And that makes me wonder if they just know more than we do about what was happening and somehow don't feel it's as bad as it looks.
Maybe, but you would think, given the amount of grief that Kyrie's gotten, that they would at least put up some sort of PR shield saying, there are things we can't talk about, but this is a bigger deal than you know. They haven't done that. All they've done is just look the other way and say, it'll be fine.
Well, look, that may be what Kyrie asked. You know,
right. I think that there were rumors of Harden to Brooklyn long before Kyrie went AWOL.
Right.
So I think that there is more to it than just him vanishing. But him vanishing is obviously a data point that they considered, you know, I mean, as they were figuring out, are we going to do this? Are we not going to do this? I mean, his reappearance is something that they were also counting on this entire time, too. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that the Brooklyn Nets plan is to try to do this with the three of them. That's why they put the three of them together. That's why they mortgaged the entire future for the three of them. I don't think there is any sort of, oh, and Kyrie is going to be moved on from now at all. I mean, it seems like this is a guy they want to play with, headaches and all. So, I mean, it's hard to say, I think I know what they're doing when they're doing something that, you know, really hasn't quite been done like this before. There's never been as dramatic of an all-in on the next 2 years poker chip push to the middle of the table like the way the Nets have just done it. I mean, it's stunning. And one of the things that I think Nick Wright hit on that was a really interesting point was that he said basically the Rockets think they know enough about James Harden game to make this bet, how it will blend with the Nets, and they're fading the hell out of it. They are betting against this working big time with all the picks that they asked for back. And they think that this is built to fail, or else they might have taken a player or two that meant more than, well, Oladipo's on your team for the rest of the year.
I think he's right about that. I think it's one of those calculated gambles that I think could backfire, because I don't know whether Rafael Scott knows James Harden well enough to know what motivates him and what doesn't, but I don't mind that they factored it into their thinking, because I'm sure they did that. And the way they structured the trade was so that all those provisional draft picks certainly are going to be ones that they think are going to look a lot better than maybe the rest of us do.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's clearly the bet they're making, right? That's when you trade for all of someone's picks, you're hoping they're bad. It remains to be seen whether they're right.
Bringing it back to the court, because the Warriors obviously did not have a great game last night. They did not. They were discombobulated. They were sloppy. The effort was really questioned for the first time in any of the first dozen games that they played so far this season. There was one, I guess, silver lining to it, and that is Curry is continuing to cook here. Again, since his 62-point performance, he is putting up some incredibly impressive numbers game after game after game. He is in his last handful of scoring games since 62. Again, he's gone 62, 30, 13, 38, 11, 20, back up to 35 last night. And he hit five threes last night on the way to what is now his career total, 2,545 threes. He is 15 shy, gentlemen, of catching Reggie Miller, tying him. Second place all time. Ray Allen is your all-time three-point leader in the NBA with 2,973. Curry is currently 428 made threes behind Ray Allen. 15 gets him to second and Reggie, and another 400 and change get him to Ray Allen. So when is that? Could that happen next year? Yeah, the end of next year, or would you put it off a third?
Because this, I think, is going to, well, one, we know it's going to be a truncated season anyway, and it might be truncated even more than we know, depending on the virus. So it's not going to be a full season. So at a minimum of 10 games is going to come off his total. And, you know, next year, you know, I think, you know, 400 is a tough ask. It might not even happen next year. It might have to happen in 22, 23. But if the earliest would be late next year.
I mean, if they play 72 games this year, I'd be shocked if it doesn't happen next year.
Right.
He's had 400 threes in a season before, and we're talking about, you know, a season and two-thirds. So, yeah, I would say likely sometime next year.
Curry. He's a hell of a watch, man. There is no doubt about it. No doubt about it. When he's just feeling it, it is one of the best things. It's why I said to Nick, like, what's the best thing to watch? LeBron, yeah, when he gets going, it's definitely compelling. But Curry is still more of a show, man. He really is. Dude, well, pulling up from 30-plus is it's like a running back making big plays in a football game. Like, it's the most appealing aspect of the – if the crack of the bat of the home run, if the running back taking it for 70 – like, outside of the rim-rattling baseline dunk, give me a three from a next area code. That is the basketball I like.
We still should have known what Nick's answer would be, though. It's a know-your-personnel situation.
Totally. No doubt about it. By the way, speaking of KYP, I think you'll appreciate this. For those of you who doubt the circus maestro, or ringleader, I guess I should say, that Nick Wright truly is in this industry. He knows he's an irritant. He gets it. And he's got commas and decimal points and lives in a Harlem brownstone that is awesome because of it. Like, he knows what he's doing. He knows the role. And just so you know, our social media team put up a Nick Wright is coming on the show promotion and used the geekiest, most shaved head, awkward, goofy-looking picture of him all time, which I see Nick has texted me about. I would like to read you the text. He said, y'all using this picture with this graphic to promote me, coming on is the ultimate troll job, and I respect it. So there you go.
Per Nash, that is a picture of his first appearance on the Cowherd Show.
That's fantastic. So Nick signs off on the love-to-hate aspect of him. He gets it. He knows where he is. So when we come on back, we know where Robert Saleh is. He is now the head coach of the New York Jets. What's that mean for him? What's that mean for the 49ers? And what the hell does that mean for the Detroit Lions? We're going to come on back and talk about all that here on 95.7 The Game. So please continue to stick with us. We invite you to go check out any of our social media accounts right now. You got the Butcher Boy and Lorenzo Neal elevating your tailgate, brought to you by Snake River Farms, the pioneer of America.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Really good to have you here on a Friday afternoon. Earlier this week, I was talking to my pal John Kincaid, who now does morning radio in Philadelphia. And as the Eagles were wondering and are still wondering who their next head coach would be, he was stumping for Robert Saleh. And I texted my buddy just saying, hey, man, if players liking playing for a coach had anything to do with winning in the future, which it doesn't. There is no direct line between I like playing for this guy and a level of success that a team is about to have. But you'd hope that they correlate. And I just said, if liking playing for a coach means anything, Saleh seems to be the right hire, because the guys that played for him are very loyal, were very fired up to be not only play for him, but to carry his water in any sort of what his future might look like conversation. Everyone that played for him was more than willing to endorse him as a head coach in the making, which meant he had an awful lot of respect to the guys that he worked directly with. And, you know, I said, you're right to stump for Saleh, because I think he's a legit candidate. Well, before the Eagles could make a choice, before the Lions made their choice, before the Chargers were about to make a choice, because I believe he had interviewed with them for a second time too, the New York Jets say, Robert Saleh, come and be our head coach. And he says, okay, I'll see you in New York. What do you think, Ray and Matt, of Robert Saleh's future with the New York Jets? Now, I know it's very easy to say, it's going to suck because everything the Jets touch ruined, and you would have historical data backing you up. But how does this work? What avenue would you give that could point this towards a successful marriage?
First of all, it makes sense for the Jets to hire Saleh. Not as much sense as it would have made for the Lions to do it, because the Lions' defense is historically rancid. But the Jets can make this work, even though their ownership is a hot mess, and most teams that have a hot mess in the ownership suite don't win. If they nail the pick at the draft in April, whether it's Justin Fields or Penei Sewell or somebody else, if they get a significant and repeated All-Pro there, and they have three solid drafts in a row, because that's how far away the Jets actually are. So for me, Joe Douglas is probably the only guy early on who could save Robert Saleh from the same fate that Adam Gase had and other Jet coaches time immemorial, going back to Weeb Eubank. They need to get players, and they need to get a lot of them.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.